You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I do believe that we have a choice in our destiny. I have a choice in what happens in my life, my marriage, and business, and so on and so forth. We have choices in this church as to which direction we're going to go. But, you know, we don't choose the outcome of principles. Once we do something, there is going to be an outcome. And God has instituted those principles. If I go down a certain road, I'm going to wind up in a certain destination. That's because principles rule. The farmer cannot plant watermelons and just expect orange trees to come up. The principle of sowing and reaping goes into effect as soon as he puts the orange seeds in the ground. The watermelon seeds in the ground. What he plants is going to come up. That's a principle. You can't defy that. You can't violate that. And if you're going to live in a certain manner, there's going to be a certain outcome. You can't change the outcome until you change the behavior, because principles rule. They rule. If you're going to live a life of sin, you're going to have a terrible outcome. If you're going to live for God and live holy, you're going to have a wonderful outcome. You can't sin and have a good outcome, and you can't serve God and have a bad outcome. Are you with me? It's because those principles are engraved in stones, and that's why God says, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you may live, that you and your seed may live, that you may cleave unto me, and live long." So all through the scripture, God admonishes us to do certain things and not do other things. You know, he admonishes us, he gives us commands, and then he gives us prohibitions. And the reason is real simple, because he made the world in such a way that certain actions bring certain results. That's just the way the world is made. And sin does not bring blessing, and hate does not help. The hater hurts. Hello. And unforgiveness, you don't win when you don't forgive. Forgiveness brings a blessing. Love brings a blessing. Holy living brings a blessing. Praying for others brings good results. We have laws in the natural. You know, you jump off roof, you hit ground, that's called gravity. You know, you can't change that. You can choose your destiny. You can stay on the ground, not climb on the roof. That'll be good. But if you decide to commit yourself to stepping off that roof, the principle of gravity comes into play, and you're not going to violate it. The principle is going to work for you or against you. Are you out there? So why do we study the Bible? Why do we come to church? Why do we learn how to have a good marriage and how we should act? And why do we act certain ways? Because of principles. Because God designed the world, and it is what it is. You didn't make it. I didn't make it. He did. So you can choose to go one direction or the other. But you can't head east and wind up in Dallas. If you want to go to Dallas, you can go east all you want to. You're never going to get there. You can go east passionately. You can go east diligently. You can go east fast and furious. But you're not going to get to Dallas, because Dallas happens to be west from here. Hello. So a lot of times we think we're just passionate enough, if we're just diligent enough, if we're just committed enough, something's going to happen. Well, if we're not doing the right thing, it's not going to happen.
That's right, yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So, it'll all turn out okay. Well, no, it's not going to all turn out okay. There are certain principles we need to work with.
Right.
Woo! And the quicker we learn what they are, the better it is. And that's what we do when we get in the Bible. We find out what they are, what those principles are. Principles of love and forgiveness. Principles of holy living. Principles of talking right, confessing the word, and being positive instead of negative. See, there's laws of confession, just like there's laws of gravity, laws of electricity. There's laws of love. There's sowing and there's reaping.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Y'all still out there?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all found 2 Timothy 2.
Yes.
Notice what it says. You therefore, first verse, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The International Version says reliable men who will also be qualified. I like that. And of course, there's a whole teaching there that often we look for people, you know, that have gifts and talents, but we don't really look for people that are have character and integrity. And gifts and talents may get you to the top, but it's character that'll keep you from falling off.
That's right, yes, sir.
And there's a lot of people that are gifted, but they're gifted way beyond their ability or their character and their integrity, and they can't sustain it. The world's full of talented people that never amount to anything. But God's looking for faithful people. God's not really looking that so much for ability anyway. He's looking for availability. If you're available, God will use you. It's not us doing a whole lot of things for God. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about God doing things through us. So if we're available, He'll move through it. Well, I'm going to do this for God or this for God. Well, no, if you'll just go where He tells you to go, He'll do it through you. Amen. He needs you, no question. But what you and I need to develop is, we need to develop some diligence, some faithfulness, some commitment to the truth. We need to head west if we're going to get to Dallas, but we need to stay on that road. And we need to keep going. We don't need to sit down. Because you can, even if you're on the right road, if you're sitting there, you'll get run over. Hallelujah. Woo! This is exciting this morning. I tell you, I'm so excited. Notice the next verse. It says, "You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Everybody say, endure hardness. Christianity's not always, you know, fun. I mean, I think in the long run it's fun. If you're not having fun serving Jesus, I believe you're not doing it right. But there's going to be challenges. There's going to be tough days. There's going to be battles. We're going to have to endure some hardness. Those are just principles of anything. Anything you commit to, anything you go after, any goal, any dream, any vision, is going to take some stamina on your part. It's going to take some staying with the stuff. Amen. Are you out there? And so God compares us as Christians to soldiers. I think of Carl and Marina, how many times they wanted to quit, I'm sure, over the years. How many times it was just too much? How many times they didn't have enough money to go to the next place? Or how many times they got rejected? Or how many times they went to villages and nothing happened? But they stayed with it because there was always that village where it did happen.
Yes.
There was always that miracle that did come to pass.
That's right.
There was always that prayer that did work. Hallelujah. There are always those people that did receive. Now, there's going to be some that don't. Probably more don't than do. But I can guarantee you, if you minister to no one, you'll get nothing.
That's right.
And if you don't pray at all, you'll never get a prayer answered. I can guarantee you that. And I'll say this, if you pray a lot, you'll probably have some prayers that don't get answered. For whatever reason. You're not right. You're not doing it right. Maybe you know something's messed up. The word's true. I don't have any problem with that. God always does what He says. But I know this, if you never pray, you're never going to get a prayer answered. If you never lay hands on someone, you're never going to get anybody healed. Never, ever. If you never witness to anybody, you'll never see anybody get saved. Never. But you got to, as a Christian, just because you make a stand for God, doesn't mean everybody's just going to love you. Everybody doesn't just jump on the bandwagon when you get saved, and especially get full of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I've said often, if you think everybody just loves you because you're a Christian, we'll just get a big T-shirt and put, "I speak in tongues" on the front, "I cast out devils" on the back, and walk through downtown. Hello? I'm not saying you ought to do that, but I'm just saying not everybody's going to think you're just wonderful. We love people, and we're for people. But you know, we got to endure hardness. We got to stay with the stuff. The farmer, when he plants, he's got to stay with it. He's got to keep watering. He's got to keep fertilizing. He's got to keep checking it. Rains come, rains go, and you know, the sun shines, but he keeps planting, and he keeps fertilizing, he keeps weeding. He stays with it, he works at it, he doesn't give up. Hello? See, we see the outcome in many cases, and we make much of the event, but we don't make much of the process. We see Cruz hitting a grand slam walk-off. If you don't know what that is, or the bases were loaded. There was three on base, and Cruz comes up. The mighty Cruz comes up to bat. The bottom of the 11th inning, 3-3. He hits the ball out of the park, baby. And automatically, four runs goes on the scoreboard, and we win the game. We love that. We see that, and we go, "Wow, we're out of our chairs." Last night, I jumped out of my chair when that last fly was caught, when I knew it was over. I thought, I knew it was over for them. But anyway, that was it. That was it. Last chance. It was the bottom of the ninth, and we were ahead, 50-2. I don't know what it was. It looked like a football game score. I don't know what it was. 15 to, what was it, 15? 15-5. Yeah. And you see that, and boy, I mean, I was talking to Carl and I were watching it, and I go, this is it. Oh, this is it. And he caught them. Oh, yeah, and I jumped out of my chair, And we get all excited. But see what you don't see in a lot of cases like that. You don't see old Cruz hitting that ball during the week and hitting that ball and batting and hitting that ball and batting and hitting that ball. Nobody's looking. Nobody's watching. We don't see that. See, we see the event. We see the marathon runner cross the line and break the ribbon and the crowd goes wild. But we don't see in the rain and the heat, just, well, man, running every day, miles and miles. Nobody's out there. Nobody's clapping. Nobody's at the finish line.
Praise God first.
Yeah. Praise God first. Amen. That's good. You're still in the ball game, aren't you? Yeah. Okay. But we don't see the process, see? We don't see how principles rule, how these victories are outcomes, the results of a lot that goes on. And Paul's telling Timothy, you endure hardness as a good soldier. You be a good soldier. You go to boot camp before you go to battle. Are you with me? We want the power of Pentecost, but we don't want the preparation of the upper room.
That's right.
We don't want the 10 days of praying. But we want the power of Pentecost, you know. And often in life, God's got answers, no question. But you're not going to talk your way out of a situation you behaved your way into. What God wants you to do is change your behavior. It may take time, but the principle rules. If you'll change some habits, if you'll change some actions, and you'll change some words, and you know, and you'll stay with it, and when it doesn't look like anything's happening, you will finally break through and you'll win this deal.
Amen.
Because principles rule. And it pays to serve God. And God means what He says when He says it. Amen?
Yes.
We're talking about implementing some strategies and some plans and some methods and making much of the process and not just the event. We like the victory and we should have it. I love it. Thank God for the victory. Thank God for the pictures of those that got saved. But you just saw a few clips. You saw a few pictures. You didn't see years of them going to those places. You didn't see all the preparation of getting the trip together. You know, it takes them 2 days to drive down there from where they are. It's down way down into Mexico. 2 days. And 2 days back. To go to just a bunch of people nobody really cares about up in the village that can't even read and write. Well, God cares about them.
That's right.
God cares about everybody. Are you with me? But there has to be some sacrifice. There has to be some giving up of time. There has to be some exercise and some practice and some diligence, and like the soldier boot camp before the battle. You know, and Paul goes on even in this short few verses. He says, you must endure hardness as a good soldier. Jesus Christ, fourth verse, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Don't get so wrapped up in this life that you forget why we're here, that we have a purpose. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there are people that need you. They need your prayers. They need your faith. They need you to live right. They need your marriage to make it.
Amen. Yes.
They need you to be faithful. It's not all about you. There's people out there that need to know that you can serve God. They need to know you can have integrity and you can do the right thing and win. They need to know that, see? And God forbid we quit. We just give up, you know? I don't want to give up. I don't want to quit. I want to keep serving. I want to keep being that example. I want to keep showing people that you can serve God, hallelujah, that it pays to serve God. I think about, you know, Carl and Marina and their children. I just wept when I saw them. I'm thinking, here they are wanting to go on a mission trip, you know. I mean, that's raising your kids right, isn't it? I mean, you talk about a heritage, you're leaving a legacy, man. I mean, your family's serving God. You don't see that a lot in ministry. Some children just want to give up. They don't have anything to do with ministry because they've seen the pain, they've seen the hurt, they've seen the people give up, their parents, you know, not enjoy what they do, not stay with what they do, and then they get mad and they don't even have anything to do with the ministry. But I tell you, if you do it with passion, and you know, we love, Brent and I love the ministry. We love the church. We love serving God. I love it. And our children love it. That's what it should be. But it's because we just don't, that's what we do. We don't consider, you know, I don't consider anybody else concerning Brenda. She's my wife and that's it. Just the way it is. Got issues, got to work them out. It's just got to work it out. The church, you got issues, you got to work it out. I mean, we just got to work it out. We don't cut and run. We fix things. We pray. Are you with me? Okay, so, just got a few minutes here. I got to I'll give you all I got just as quick as I can here. Is this helping you? So he says you must endure hardness as a good soldier. There's going to be hardness. There's going to be rain. There's going to be wind. You're going to have to get out there and run when nobody's watching. You're going to have to get out there and work. And you're going to have to get out there and train. And, you know, they don't call off training because it rains. They don't call off training because it's cold. If you're in boot camp, they don't go out there and check the wind to see if we're going to work out today. And, man, you get out there. You got to get ready for battle. Got to get ready to win. And he goes on and says that, fourth verse, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. He stays focused, doesn't get involved in civilian affairs, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, fifth verse, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You go according to the rules. You work out, you run the right path, you do the right thing, you obey the rules. Hello. And then he says this, sixth verse, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. The hardworking farmer should be first to receive a share of the crops, I think the New International Version says. Consider what I say, Paul says, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Well, notice that he used soldiers and athletes and farmers. Well, I can tell you about soldiers, as we said earlier, you don't go to battle till you go through boot camp. I can tell you about athletes. Athletes don't, they got to go through practice before they get a prize, that's for sure. You practice before you get a prize. And when it comes to farmers, staying with the P anointing there, they have to plant and plow before they pick the produce. Amen. Isn't that right? Everybody wants to pick the produce. But you got to plant and plow before you pick the produce. Amen. Everybody wants the prize. Yeah, but you're going to have to practice if you want the prize. Amen? Yep. Principles are amazing things. And what you and I do need to do is figure out what they are and work with them instead of against them. You know, I wrote some things in there. I was just thinking about principles. We can't work outside of principles. You can't just decide to opt out. That's not going to happen. Because there are principles that govern the world and govern God in His Word. God has designed the world to operate under certain laws and principles. We either activate them to our advantage or to our hurt and loss. You start a principle as soon as you start something. As soon as you act, as soon as you speak, you put a principle into motion. And the outcome is in the principle. Okay? You're not going to change the outcome unless you change the action that activated the principle. So we don't create principles. God did. He already did that. They work whether we're conscious of them or not. And as soon as we do anything, we activate them. As soon as we say anything, we activate them. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes they are working when we choose to do nothing. Because choosing to do nothing is still a choice. It's still a choice. Now, I'll give you an example. A farmer, for instance, purposely plants certain seed in certain ground to get a certain crop.
That's right. Right.
We know that. So he activates the law of sowing and reaping when he plants. But he does it with a purpose. He uses it to his advantage. We can purposely sow seeds of good marriage. We can sow seeds of a good relationship, good business, or whatever. But it's interesting also, if he chooses not to sow the ground, the wind will sow it for him. Yeah. So just opting out is not an option. You can't opt out. The principle continues. You say, well, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to stay out of the whole thing, keep my mouth shut, not say anything. Well, you know what's going to happen is the wind's going to sow things into your life. The world's going to sow, circumstance is going to sow things in your life. And it's going to be weeds, and it's going to be thorns, and it's going to be, are you with me? Because the principle goes on.
That's real good.
You see, we don't have this option. We don't opt out till we go to heaven. We're here, and we need to work this to our advantage. If we do nothing, that's still a choice. To do nothing is the wrong choice. Are you with me? We got to start making plans. See, it's not a matter of your calendar being filled. Think about it this way. Well, I don't plan out my day, you know. Well, you know what? Your day's going to get planned out. What about my calendar? Well, I don't even fill my calendar. No, your calendar gets filled. It'll get filled with circumstance. It'll get filled with problems. It'll get filled with somebody else. But your calendar will be filled. At the end of the day, it's going to be filled. Why don't you purposely fill it? Your ground's going to get planted.
That's good.
Why don't you purposely plant?
Yep.
The battle's coming. If you ain't gone through boot camp, you're going to lose. The race is on. And you're probably going to get run over if you're not working out. Are you with me? And so principles rule. That's what we've got to understand. And we need to cooperate with them, work with them, put them into action. See, the end of all knowledge is action. That's why we come. We find out what to do. We find out what we believe. Yeah, I don't come to church to find out if I believe. I believe. I come to church to find out what I believe. Amen. I get in the Bible to find out what I believe. Believing? I believe the Bible. I study to find out what I believe and what I need to put in action. So take all this and put it in action. Hallelujah. Thank God for someone like Carl and Marina that had a dream and a passion and put it in action. Amen. Gave their lives to it. Gave their day to it. Gave their action and their finances and their time to it. Year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out. And man, look at what happens when you stay committed to a principle, God's principle. Look at the result. Look at the win, the victory. Look at the prize. Hallelujah. Look at the produce. We saw some produce today on the screen. Amen. We did. Produce of people that are committed to God and committed to a cause. And you know what? You can bring forth some produce yourself. You really can. You can win some prizes and you can win some victories. Amen. If you'll put some principles together. Get in the Word. Find out what God says. Start changing some things in your life. Change your actions. Change your habits. Yes. Change the way you look at things and what you say about things and how you act in certain situations. Look at the Word. Find out what God says and start marking your life. And say, I'll stop doing that right there. I'm going to start doing that right there.